Deuteronomy chapter 30. Moses is giving his people some last minute directions. Last minute sermons, if you want. Moses, we'll see in another few chapters, he will die. God will allow him to see the promised land, but he won't allow him to enter into it. And Moses wants his people to do so well. They won't. And he's already told them that they wouldn't. But you see, he's got this, what you call a shepherd's heart, a pastor's heart. And he wants to see these people do well. They fought with him. They complained. They moaned. If there would have been another church to go to, they would have gone to it. But the trouble is, they were in the middle of the wilderness and there was no place else to go. I mean, a few of them even decided, we're going back to Egypt. Well, it just didn't work out. Moses loved those people anyway, through it all. And so he says, I want you to do great. I want you to do fine. And so we continue on. We've been listening to him now for 29 chapters. And in chapter 30, verse 1, he says, it shall come to pass when all these things have come upon you. What things? All the blessings and all the cursings, right? The blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and you shall call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven you. You know, you're going to enter into the promised land. You haven't even entered yet. And you're going to experience the blessings, and you're going to experience all those curses. If you'd like to remind yourself of them, read the first 29 chapters again. All those curses. You sure would like to see God's people avoid all that, wouldn't you? You sure would like to see them just avoid that part. Stick with the blessings. I like to think that. Just stick with the blessings. Who needs the curses? Who needs it? They're going to get them all. And that's what he says. I mean, what a heartbreaker. I can't go with you. And so when you get over there, do it right. The trouble is, he says, I know you're not going to do it right. And you're going to, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I set before you, and you shall call them to mind among all the nations, note, whether the Lord thy God hath driven you. You're going to get into the promised land, yes, but you're going to be then scattered out. Remember, we learned a few times it's going to happen to them. Scattered out around the world. He says, and it's going to be when you get scattered out all around the world, you're going to stop and you're going to remember the things God had to say. When do you notice, or have you noticed, because it is true, have you noticed yet that you really begin to think about the things God said when you're in the middle of trouble? Have you ever noticed that? Your health is no good, or something's going wrong. Have you noticed how you begin to say, I better read my Bible. I better check out what God says about it. And have you noticed that when things are really wrong, you actually start praying more? Come on, do this. Mm-hmm. Why? That's when you need him. When everything's falling apart, that's when you need God. Why do you think God lets things fall apart? Yeah. Is he catching on? If you and I would just keep our eyes on him, it's a blessing. But we don't, and we refuse to, and we continue to wander and do the things that we think are right, and then I'm mad at you today, and now we're this, and now we're that, and God says, all right, a little pressure on you, and you go, whoa, God, oh, you know something? Hey, wait, my foot hurts. Help me, Lord. And you start praying out to God. And so it makes sense to me now sometimes why he lets my foot hurt. Because I catch myself going, hey, which is what he wanted all along. Call unto me, he said, and I will answer you. Now, when you get out there and you get in the middle of the water and it's deep and it's starting to get right up to your nose and you think you might go under, you're going to remember the things that bring blessings. That's what he just told them. The things I set before you today, you shall call them to mind among all nations, whither the Lord thy God has driven you. You're going to remember them then. And you shall, I like this, verse 2, return unto the Lord thy God. Oh man, are you a Bible underliner? And you'll actually return to God. And you shall obey his voice according to all that I command you this day. Thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Yeah, when it gets hard, when it gets ugly, when you're out there scattered and not sure you're going to make it, you will remember the Lord your God and you'll return to him. Before God brings you back into your land, he's going to bring you back to himself. I like it. There's going to be a return to the Lord. You know, there is coming a time for the nation of Israel when they are going to return to the Lord. And as you read through Scripture, you don't have to be told what the book of Revelation says. You've probably read through it a time or two, and you know that it's not going to go so well for that little nation, and they're going to be persecuted beyond any measure that they've been persecuted before. And what will it do? It'll cause them to remember the Lord their God. And to what? Return to the Lord. And then, of course, he goes on in verse 3, it says, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee and will return and gather thee from all nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. Okay, if you look at this and what it's telling us, right in your Bible, if you write in there or underline what it, write grace. What's going to happen is you're going to see God will bring them back to their land in unbelief, and they will actually turn to him. It's not that they're going to turn to him, get everything right, and then he's going to go, all right, then you come back. Notice what grace is. Grace is doing that before it's deserved. Notice that, mercy, grace. You see how God is? They will not be returned to their land because of obedience. They will obey because they have been returned to their land. Did I say that right? I'll say it again. Maybe I'll say it right. They will not be returned to their land because of their obedience. They will obey because they have been returned to their land. Why do we love the Lord? Because he first loved us. That's what grace is. A weak definition of grace would be unmerited favor. Something he did for me, I didn't deserve it. I deserved the opposite of what God has done for me. You see, that is what grace is. That's what you and I live under. The grace of God. And Moses says, oh my goodness, I wish it was going to go perfect for you, but it's not going to go perfect for you. You're going to get into this land and you're going to be a mess. And God, and we already saw in chapter 28, you're going to be scattered quite a few times, but don't worry. God will keep his promise. But notice in verse 3, something, I read it quickly, but if you look at it, we look at it slowly. This says something that is kind of cool. Watch. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, and listen closely, and have compassion upon you, and will return. Did you see that before when I read it? And will return and gather you from all nations, where the Lord thy God has scattered thee. God's going to return. When did he leave? Every Jewish person ought to be asking the question. What do you mean he's going to return? When did God leave? Well, to leave, well, come on everybody, you have to be here first. When was he here? That's a messianic prophecy right there. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. God came to earth just about 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is God the Son. God in human flesh. He came to earth to save His people from their sins. And what happened to Him? He went to the cross. He shed His blood. He was the Lamb that was sacrificed, the Passover Lamb that was sacrificed for the sins of the world. But the world rejected Him. His own people and all people. He was rejected. And He rose from the dead, and His people didn't want Him. And you know the rest of the story. He ascended. Where did He ascend to? He said, and He is the truth, so you know it's true. He said, I am going back to my Father. He ascended back to heaven, which is where He came from. He is God the Son. There's a promise in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 3, that God will return. Jesus Christ is coming back. Better get ready. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, God in human flesh, He will return. And what will He do when He returns? The Bible says He will gather the Israelites, the children of Abraham, the children of Isaac, the children of Jacob. He will gather them from all nations. When Jesus returns to set up His kingdom, don't you know that the Jewish people will believe in Him and He will gather them together from all the nations, the Bible says, where the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. Now look at verse 4. If any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee. From thence will He fetch thee. No matter how far you've been driven from your home, how far away, God will bring them back. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And He will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Okay? Once again, for the children of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, for the children of Israel, this is an unconditional promise. Notice there were no conditions to this. When the Lord returns, He will gather you back together. Unconditional promise. Not based on what Israel does, what they think, how they feel, but an unconditional promise. Not based on any man, as a matter of fact. Based on God's grace and God's mercy and God's love alone. That's what we're seeing right here. That's what we're reading. Now Moses, you know, you and I read this, and I know Christians have a tendency to think, oh, well, wow, cool. Let's move on to something exciting. Hold it. Moses is saying this, and they haven't even yet entered into the promised land. Moses is telling them that Messiah will return. Well, to return, He has to show up first. Now the Jews today will say, they're waiting for Messiah. He's never been here yet. Yet, we read that when Jesus returns, they will look upon Him whom they have pierced. Who would that be? Jesus Christ. And they will weep and mourn. Why? Because they will recognize who He really is. I think the world's going to be shocked on that day when Jesus returns, because they're going to realize who He really is. You know, a lot of people today don't believe Jesus is God. A lot of people today don't believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They just, and I hear it quite often, so do you, He's just really a nice guy. They say He's a great teacher. They list Him among the, quote, great human teachers, whether that would be Aristotle, Plato, Jesus. They list Him among all these nice guys and philosophers. And you know what? Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He's King of kings, Lord of lords. He's coming back to judge the living and the dead, and of His kingdom there will be no end. That's the Jesus we're talking about. And Moses is saying to them, Messiah, God's going to return. And he's going to do, the Lord will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. Verse 5, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above all of thy fathers. And, you know, in other words, all the blessings that have been promised are going to be not based on how Israel's doing, based on God's mercy. Verse 6 tells us this. The Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy children, of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that you may live. God will circumcise your hearts, he says to the people. What does that mean? He's going to cut away from their hearts stubbornness, because that is indwelt, that's born into the heart of mankind. He's going to cut away from their hearts rebellion and give them a new heart. God is going to work a work in their hearts. Now, those of you who belong to Jesus, if you are truly his, God has given you already a new heart. A heart that is flesh. A brand new heart. A heart that is for him. And we'll talk about what we're supposed to do with that as we get near the end of the chapter. But that amazes me, that God is going to work a work based on his grace. Not based on anything but his grace. I like that. Verse 7. Oh, wait a minute. Before I go to verse 7, I want to read you a scripture out of the New Testament. God's going to change the hearts of his people. Cut away the stubbornness, cut away the rebellion. He's going to circumcise their hearts. They're going to have new hearts. Hearts that are real. Hearts that really love him. And you read in Romans chapter 11, verse 26. Paul's writing this. And people question this chapter quite often. Here's what Paul writes. He says, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. They will love the Lord and remain committed to him wholeheartedly. God's going to work a work when he returns. And they will look on him whom they have pierced, and they will weep. They will be brokenhearted over what they have done to their own Messiah. That's coming. Supposedly, in theory, you and I have already humbled ourselves and asked Jesus into our hearts. Already, in theory, true? We're calling ourselves Christians. So, some of the things we're reading that is going to happen in these people, that's already happened in your life. It's already happened in your heart. In theory. Now, you may be saying, not me, I'm still a jerk. Well, it's all right. You know, God takes us just as we are, and he's going to change us, going to work in our hearts. He's changing our hearts daily. And see, these people, Moses says, will love God with their whole heart. Finally. Do you remember Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, where we read, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Remember that? All your soul, all your strength. That's a command. Hear, O Israel, this is our God that we worship. We love him with everything we are, everything we think, everything we say, everything we do, everything we're about. That's how we love God. Well, the Israelites, God's children will someday do that. But isn't it true that the Word of God teaches us that we as believers should be doing that now? True? Loving the Lord our God with all that we are, all that we have, all that we're about. It's going to finally happen, he says, to them. Verse 7 says, and the Lord thy God will put all these curses, and remember, again, if you want to remember every curse, you've got to read the first 29 chapters. There are a lot of curses involved here. You remember that? God's going to put all these curses upon your enemies. And on them that hate you, which persecute you. And you shall return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. So in what are we reading? Israel's enemies will be judged. Again, you can underline these verses and you can count them as promises. God never goes back on his word. Did you hear what he said? Your enemies, all of them, and all those that hate you, will be judged. Now you take a look at what's going on in the headlines around us today. And you think, Israel, man, they're being mistreated, or this is happening, or that's happening, first of all, we can't get solid news. Who knows what's happening? It may be a big birthday party. We don't know. I mean, God only knows what's going on over there. Our news people are confused. If you read the news like I do, I check it quite often. And if you get into the habit of checking it quite often, the stories change from 1 hour to the next. You know, 12 people were killed. And then you read in the same story, 7 people were killed. And pretty soon you find out nobody was killed. One guy hurt his leg, though. And if you wait long enough, you're still not sure exactly what happened over there. But something bad must have happened because sooner or later it comes out. Well, truth is nobody was killed, but some guy really yelled loud and hurt somebody's feelings. And you're thinking, I don't quite exactly know what went on. I'm not sure what's going on. God knows. God knows what's going on, and the promise is Israel's enemies will be judged. And that is a promise. And remember, when God says that he's going to do something, he does it. All right? When God promises something, God keeps his word. He's not like you and I. He keeps his word. I would not want to be an enemy of Israel. I would not want to be put in the position of standing against the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because God said to Abraham one time, talking to him, God said, those that bless you, I will bless. Those that curse you, I will curse. God said, Abraham was his friend. God made that promise. Have you seen anywhere in Scripture where God has taken that back? I don't see it. Therefore, even though it looks like the children of God are losing, you can believe God will keep his promise. And what we just read, and of course you'll see it many more times than Deuteronomy chapter 30, but you can believe Israel's enemies will be judged. It's a promise of God. And what they'll do is they'll serve the Lord for all eternity. Verse 9 says, the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, we've already seen this earlier, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If you shall listen to the Lord, the voice of the Lord, thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you will turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. All right. Again, if you're wondering what's going on here, Moses says complete fulfillment of all God's promises. Complete blessing, full blessing. Blessings that were promised since the very beginning, God's going to keep his word. Israel will be blessed. That's what God is saying there. For, verse 11, this commandment, which I command thee this day, okay, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. There, I think that Israel as being promised it, but I also think that you need to take that to heart as well. Sometimes we look at this and say, well, that's nice, that's for Israel, that's for us, that's for us. Wait a minute. This commandment which I commanded this day, it is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. You know, God's word is not hidden from you. Some of you do not believe that. I know you don't. But the truth is, God's word is not hidden from you. God would never, not ever, make it too hard for you to understand. God would never do that to you. He won't do it. You can read the Bible yourself and understand it. You must be born again. You need the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of God will teach you. We learn that in Galatians and Corinthians. Well, all through the New Testament, you'll see it. Jesus promises the Spirit would teach us and remind us of things. You need God's Holy Spirit, so you must be born again. But you can read the Word of God, and you can learn. Now, he says to his children, it is not in heaven, verse 12, that you should say, well, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it over to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word, verse 14, is very near unto you in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. God's word is not far from you. You don't have to figure out how to send a guy up to heaven so he can bring it back down to bring it to you. You don't have to. Did you ever watch those movies when you were young? I don't know if they make these kind anymore. Sinbad. You know, the seven voyages. Did you ever watch that stuff? Probably not. You were probably saved back then too. And he would always have to, the guy would have to bring something back that really didn't exist. A black rose. Or something. And he would have to go and sail through seven-headed dragons, and he'd have to go to a place anyway, just because the princess wanted it. Remember that? And he would fight things and bring it back. And you think, boy, if we don't have a Sinbad, how are you going to get this? I mean, there's no normal man could bring this back. And you read all these fantasy, things. What's the latest now? Lord of the Rings, right? You got to have a brave guy like Frodo, right? That's not of Scripture, by the way. But I know that a lot of teachers who teach the Bible want you to think that. They want you to think that it's a little bit too high for you to reach. And if it's too high for you to reach, you need them. And I know people want you to think that, plain minds like ours can understand Scripture a little bit, but the real deep minds, they can go in and they can find secrets. You need to get into the and go find, wait a minute, hold it. What did we just read here in Scripture? For this commandment, which I command you this day, is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven, so that you say, who could go up to heaven for us and bring it to us so that we can get it and hear it and do it? It's not beyond the sea, so you have to send Sinbad over to fight things and to go back and catch it for you and bring it so you can have it and see it and do it. No, the word is very near unto you. God's children have always had his word. He never left them without it. He says, Moses, write it down. Give it to them. Read it to them. They're going to write this whole book of Deuteronomy on a rock so they could go by, and if they didn't have it in their own pocket, they could go read the rock, remember, on top of the mountain. God's word is there. I've noticed something. You don't have to find secrets. You don't have to find the black rose fighting any kind of dragons. The word is near. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. Notice, let me say that in English, in American. There is no excuse. God has brought his word right to us. It's right here. You are holding a copy of his word in your hand or in your lap. It's not far from you at all. You could open it any second and look and see. The word is as near as your radio. Haven't you noticed that? You can turn it on, and there are channels that you'll get teaching 24 hours a day. That's how near the word is to you. God has made it that near. The word is as near as your tape deck or your CD player or your computer or your television. That's how close the word is. God has brought it right to you. Yeah, I noticed the word of God is as near as a Christian, any Christian friend that you have. Because any Christian friend that you have probably will mention God's word to you. Sometimes even when you don't want to hear it. Isn't that true? God's word is not a secret. God's word is not hard to understand. But God's word is so deep that you and I probably won't ever comprehend it all. But I don't want you leaving here thinking that it's hidden from you. There's too much teaching going on that teaches you this is hidden from you. I want you leaving here thinking it's not hidden from me. I can open it, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can read this and learn and understand it myself. And you can. And that's what he's telling the people. God's word is not far from you. Listen to God's word. Read the word of God. You've heard us mention it maybe once or twice. Read your Bible. You've probably heard that here before. I hope so. Read your Bible. It will make a difference in your heart, in your life. It will change your outlook. It'll change your heart. Of course, we've just seen that. And so he's telling the people, no. It's right in front of your eyes on the printed page. God's word is not far from you. See, verse 15. I have set before you today, this day, life and good. At the same time, also death and evil. The children of Israel, Moses is telling them, I've set before you today the right way to go and the wrong way to go. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. That's John 14:6. I paraphrased it, but that's what Jesus himself said. I'm the way and the truth and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That is the truth. That's the way to life. That's the right way to go. And Moses says, I set before you today, I have set before you life and good. Do you want that? I've also said before you, death and evil. Go reject Jesus. Turn away from Jesus. Ignore Jesus. And you will find evil and trouble and suffering and misery and a lousy life and death even after all that. But you've got a choice to make. I've said it before you. Elijah says to the people of God, how long will you limp between two opinions? You're limping back and forth, and you and I don't want to do that. How long are you going to limp? If the Lord is God, then serve him. If he's not, then don't. But make a choice today. Joshua says to the people, going to say to the people later on, you choose today who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Moses says, today I am placing before you a choice you need to make. And you know what amazes me is he knows what choice they're going to make. They'll say they choose God, but you will watch them choose everything else. And you'll look at them and say, those Israelites. Listen, everything here is written for examples to us. Because we see ourselves in it. See, I have set before thee, verse 15, this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Life and good, death and evil. God is simply asking you to trust his Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation. To trust his Son, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. That's simply what he's asking. You say, well, I've done that. Have you? It's always important to check with yourself. I'll wait. Have you really? If you have, are you reading your Bible? Have you stopped that gossip? Are you really seeking the Lord and saying, all right, Lord, I need to change. My attitude needs to change. My heart needs to change. Are you doing those kinds of things? Doing the things that you know God would want for you to be doing. The things that are pleasing in the sight of the Lord. You got before you today good, life and good. or death and evil. What's going on in your life? We need to be focused one way or the other. Well, we need to be focused one way, but we're going to be focused one way or the other, I guess is how I should say that. I denounce, verse 18. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 17. But if your heart turn away, so that you will not listen, shall be drawn away and worship other gods, and serve them. I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely die, perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your children, your seed, may live, that you may love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that you may cleave or stick to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Don't you think, as we finish that chapter, that that's some excellent advice for any Christian? I mean, isn't that amazing advice? Coming from Moses, 120 years old, still loves these people, although they have been a handful at times. He says, love the Lord. Love the Lord your God. Obey his voice. Stick to him. Notice he says, obey his voice that you may stick to him. Jesus says, you love me, obey me, listen to me, follow me, trust me, come after me. Stick to him. For he is your life. You see, my life, those of you that are Christians, your life, our lives, those of us that are Christians, our lives are hid in Jesus Christ. We have our life in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you think about this doctrine or that doctrine. It doesn't matter what church you belong to or how your church does communion or what days of the week they meet. It doesn't. Those things, the key is, bottom line, Jesus Christ. Either we accept him or reject him. So that we could stick to him. For he is your life and he's the length of your days. That you may dwell in the land. There's God's promise here. Trust in the Lord. Listen to him. Follow him. And I said it earlier, but simply put, what Moses is saying is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. That's just what he's saying. You can go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema, and you'll see it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength. That's what you and I are all about. As he's giving them their final marching orders. Those are amazing statements that Christians can take with them. We celebrate during this season, and we could pick any season. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. See, had Jesus Christ not been born, then you and I couldn't go to heaven. He had to become human. Take on this flesh just like us. Had he not done it, then there would be no hope. That's why we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Doesn't matter what day you pick to celebrate on. July 3rd is a great day if you want to celebrate, then whatever. 25th of December, that's fine too. But just think. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Read verse 20. And in there you're going to find, listen, obey the Lord's voice that you may stick to him, for he is your life. We sing a song, my life is in you, Lord. It is. You and I live and move. We have our being in Jesus Christ. He's given us life. He's given us hope. He's right there to take care of everything that you have and everything that you are. And what does he say in return? Follow me. Where's your heart? we'll worship just for a few minutes before we close. And this is a great chance for me and you just to get our hearts back where they belong. I don't know what your week has been like. Maybe it's busy. I don't know. There's a great chance. Maybe things have happened in your life that you don't know how to deal with. Maybe things are going on around you. You don't know what to do about them. Here's a chance. Here's an opportunity to sit still, to be still before the Lord, to worship and to praise and to turn your heart back over. Maybe he's had our hearts, but there are areas we've pulled back because we're a little afraid. We're afraid of this, or we're panicky over that, or we're not understanding this over here, and we're holding it back now, starting to get nervous. Turn it back over. Give your life to God. Turn it back over to him. Let him have it all over again. Trust in him and listen to him. Obey his voice and stick to God like glue. He's your life. Let's bow our heads.